Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Well, first of all, let me say that I'm absolutely thrilled to be ministering into your Sunday service. It really is a privilege to me. And I did see Mama Bear giving sweeties alpha birthdays. It's actually Jen's birthday where you are, because it's the 3rd, I believe. It's the 3rd of October where you are. It's the 2nd here. But it will be Jen's birthday in approximately an hour and 25 minutes. So hold one of those sweets for me, or at least for Jen, because we will be over as soon as we possibly can. But I am super blessed to be part of this Sunday service. And I personally believe I have a message that will really encourage you. It will provoke you. It will bless you. This message, it's about a hero of mine. I don't know her name, but we will call her daughter. I don't know her name. The Bible doesn't tell us her name, but her name, we will call her daughter. And this passage that I want to read to you today, I believe it fits directly into this season that we are in, because right now there's political tension, there's racial tension, there's medical tension. And I believe we just need to keep the main thing, and that is lifting up the name of Jesus so we can draw all men unto him. No one is saved through debates. We're saved through faith by grace. And we need to lift up the name of Jesus so people can hear that he is alive and that they can come to him. And this, I believe, will bless you. I believe it will bless you abundantly. Before I read this passage, the passage is in Mark 5, Mark 5, verse 25 to 34. Some of you will already know that this passage, and this passage is about the woman with the issue of blood, the issue of bleeding. And some of you may be saying, well, Andrew, how on earth does this speak into these times? Well, I'm glad you asked, because in about 30 minutes time, I will be concluding, I believe. And I hope that that God pours out some revelation and some understanding, and maybe a deeper understanding, or you can approach these 9 verses from a different angle, and God will breathe on it so that we get a deeper understanding. And God exposed something to me in these scriptures, and I read these now and I'll never see them the way I used to. I always see them in this new, vibrant, full of life. These scriptures are amazing. Guys, before I jump into this, let me just look. We have 21 people on the live feed. If you guys want to preach a message today, if you guys want to share a message today, can I ask that you share this live feed? Can you share it? Living Waters, their feed is on now live. If you are watching this, can I ask you, as a brother who is zooming in or StreamYarding in from approximately 8,000 miles away, can you share this so that you and I can share this message together? Right, let's jump straight in. This passage that I want to read to you guys is Mark 5, verse 25 to 34. Let me read these 9 verses and then we're going to unpack it. And I believe God is going to bless you, because it blew my mind when he revealed this specific motion to me. So let me read this. Verse 25. And a certain woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all the money she had, yet instead of getting better, her situation became worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I could just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. at once. Jesus realized that power had gone out of him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched me?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you still ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." These 9 verses have impacted my life so greatly during this pandemic, during these last 18 months. These 18 months have been very different for me, and I'm sure they've been very different for you. So I was taking approximately 50, 60 flights a year. Just to give you an idea of how much my life has changed, I have taken 1 flight since I left you guys. 1 flight since I left Living Waters. Of course, I took 1 to New Zealand, to Auckland, 1 to Auckland, to Manchester. But apart from that, I've been on 1 flight. So life has been very, very different. And this passage is a life transformed. So let me give you a bit of context and then let's dive into this. So before this happens, Jesus gets into a boat and he goes to the other side of the lake. And there he's met by a demon-possessed man. Jesus speaks to the demons, casts the demons out into the pigs. The pigs run into the lake and they drown. Jesus gets back into the boat and goes back to the same side of the lake where he was. And there he is confronted by a crowd of people. There's a crowd of people gathering at the water's edge, waiting for his return. When he returns, there is a synagogue leader amongst these people, and his name is Jairus. Jairus's daughter is sick and about to die. So Jairus pleads with Jesus and asks Jesus to come with him to heal his daughter. So Jesus has just dealt with crazy man, demon-possessed man. Now he's on his way to heal and deliver Jairus' daughter. And what I've just read to you is what happens. There is a certain woman subject to bleeding. This is what I want to unpack to you today. And this is what I want us to understand, that we must keep talking about Jesus. I say it like this: prophecy. Now I need to be very careful because I know there's prophetesses in the house right now, okay? Mama Bear. Okay, so I need to be very careful. But for me and my understanding of prophecy, prophecy is an overflow of hearing and seeing. Prophecy is an overflow of hearing and seeing. Evangelism is an overflow of being found. It's an overflow of being found. When we've been found, we can't help but tell people about the one who rescued us. So here is Jesus on the shore, and he's on his way to heal Jairus' daughter. Let me go through these 9 verses. Let me just unpack them quickly. I am very aware of time. It tells us in verse 25, "And a certain woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years." Now, 12 years this woman had been bleeding. Now, what I want you to understand, in her culture, if a woman had been bleeding longer than she should, longer than her cycle, she was deemed unclean. Everyone in her village would have known that she was unclean, and they would have given her what we call in the UK a wide berth. Stay away, stay away. This woman would have been known and labeled as an unclean woman. So much so, if she'd have come out in public, people would have moved away from her. The reason why they would have kept their distance is because anyone or anything that she brushed up against was also deemed unclean. So, within the law, if you or I had brushed up against her, we are now deemed unclean. And if we go home and brush against our family, excuse me, they are deemed unclean too. So everyone would have stayed away from her. This woman, for 12 years, knew exactly what the term was. Social distancing. This woman, without question, had been social distancing. She had no choice. Sounds quite familiar, right? But please, don't worry. I'm not going into this. I'm not going into, do we wear masks? Don't we? Do we get vaccinated? Don't we? I'm going to the person who sets people free. I'm going to Jesus. And he comes into this story very, very soon. So here is a woman who has been deemed unclean, social distancing for 12 years, no bubble, no, not able to lift up the panel fence and speak to a neighbor. No, no, no. Everyone would have avoided her. The community would have known her as the unclean woman. Tells us in verse 26 that she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all that she had, all of her money. But instead of getting better, she got worse. This woman found herself in a hopeless situation. She was probably putting her trust in backstreet butchers, not doctors. Let me tell you why. Because any doctor, I'm not sure whether they would have been on a medical register back in that day, but if they were and they touched her, they would have been deemed unclean. Therefore, struck off the medical register. This woman was left on her own to deal with her issues on her own. But she couldn't deal with them because she needed setting free. The doctors, she'd given them all the money that she had, yet instead of getting better, she got worse. Her bleeding didn't stop. Could you imagine the pain and the shame that this woman would have been feeling? Her situation became worse and worse, physically, emotionally, and financially. This is what is going on right now. People are physically suffering, they're emotionally suffering, they're spiritually suffering, and they're financially suffering. This is what's going on in the world. I am broken hearted. Excuse me one second. I am brokenhearted to see all of the things that are ungodly on the increase. Homelessness, addictions to cocaine, to alcohol, to fentanyl, domestic abuse, rape, homelessness, all on the increase. We need to lead people to Jesus. This woman, her situation was awful. Emotionally, physically, financially, socially, her situation was awful. But something happens in verse 27. It tells us this. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Did you hear that? It tells us when she heard about Jesus, she came up and she touched his cloak. Now, for me, as an evangelist, as someone who always wants to grow evangelistically, whether that is one-on-one evangelism, me sharing my faith, or whether that is teaching, training, and equipping the saints in the works of ministry, I always want to grow, I want to stay sharp, and I always want to be on the edge of always sharing my faith. So when I read this, when she heard about Jesus, I dive back into the scriptures because I want to know who told her. Tells us she heard about Jesus. I want to know who told her. Well, actually, the scriptures don't tell us. The scripture does not tell us who told her. So I can imagine it would be someone like you or someone like me. Someone like you or someone like me who told her. Could you imagine what this woman was thinking when she heard that Jesus was so close? This woman thought, if I could just touch him. Now, why did she think that? Why did she think, if I could just touch him? Why did she know there was something different about him? Well, I hazard a guess, because people like you and like me would have been shouting at the top of our lungs when his feet hit the shore. We would have been shouting, he's here, he's here. Jesus is here. The healer, the God-man is here. What's he going to do? He's on his way to heal Jairus' daughter. Well, where's he been? Do you know, crazy man on the other side of the lake? He's no longer crazy. Why? Jesus has spoke to those demons and they're in the pigs, now they're in the lake. You see, there would have been healing testimonies, hope, testimonies of hope, testimonies of healing, testimonies of encouragement filling the air. Jesus is here, they would have been shouting. Jesus is here. And this woman, it tells us, she heard. Now, you know how faith comes, right? Hearing of the word of God. John 1:14 tells us that the word became flesh and moved into our neighborhood. Jesus gets off the boat. Let me just read that back to you. John 1:14, Jesus gets off the boat, the word himself, flesh, the embodiment of the word of God, and moved into her neighborhood. And the neighborhood would have been bouncing. He's here. He's here. Jesus is here. And this woman hears him. Now, what I want you to know is she wasn't allowed physical contact. So she finds herself in a dilemma. Does she stay under the law and stay behind a closed door? Does she stay in that place of depression? Does she stay in that place of loneliness? Does she stay in that place of brokenness? Does she stay in that place of sickness? Does she stay in that place of anxiousness? Does she stay in that place of anxiety and worry? Or does she do something extremely brave? Well, the text tells us that when she heard about Jesus, she came up and touched his cloak. Because verse 28, because she thought, if I could just touch him, I will be healed. This blows my mind. 12 years this woman was in this dark room. 12 long years. Social distancing. No furlough. No government help scheme. No family bubble. No Zoom meetings, no StreamYard, no mics. Nothing. On her own. On her own. And yet she hears, and I want to know how. Well, I believe it was someone like you and someone like me. She comes out. She comes out stealth-like, because she knows that she should not be there. Can you imagine a woman who shouldn't be brushing up against people moves into a crowd of people? I think her hood was up and she moved stealth-like. She moved towards her breakthrough. She pushed through for her breakthrough. She pushed through for her healing, for her deliverance. And she thought, if I could just touch him, I will be healed. She touches him, verse 29, immediately. I believe there's people listening to the sound of my voice who need an immediately, who need a suddenly in their life right now. And you believe, or you may think, that this pandemic has delayed what God wants to do in your life. Well, I'm here to tell you, and I'm here to declare right now, that there's an immediately, there is a suddenly, there's a right now about to happen in your life. There is a right now, there is a suddenly, there is that breakthrough that you need, that you can take today. I know it. You know it. The scripture tells us that he is everything that we need. And if we just touch him, he will do whatever we ask in his name. Immediately, the bleeding stopped and she felt in her body instantly healed from her suffering. Instantly, right away, her bleeding stopped. She was healed that very moment. 12 years of pain, shame, torment, stress and worry. Anxiety, loneliness evaporated in a blink of an eye. This woman's reward of healing was on the other side of her risk. I believe some of you may need to take a risk. Now, I'm not saying be reckless, okay? There's nothing cool about being reckless, okay? Radical, yes. In line with the Spirit, awesome. Reckless, No. Don't even go there. Don't even go there. Ungirdled, reckless. Listen, don't go there. Radical, yes. Reckless, no. This woman, in a blink of an eye, received her reward, and it was on the other side of a risk. This woman had a fear and faith moment, a fear and a faith moment, a risk and a reward moment, because she knew that she had to take a risk in order to touch Jesus. It was a risk because she knew she shouldn't be where she was going, but it was a reward because she thought, if I get there, I will be healed. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out of him. He turned around to the crowd and asked, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" Jesus' disciples, you know, they said, "Master, there is many people around you, and yet you still ask, who touched me?" You see, let me tell you why. The Bible says that Jesus felt power leave him. But yet there was many people touching him. But he doesn't ask, "Who touched me?" regarding all the other people. He asked, "Who touched me?" in regards to this woman with the issue of bleeding. Power left him when she touched him. Let me tell you why I believe this is. Because that kind of power can only be extracted by faith. That kind of power, it is impossible to please God without faith. This kind of power can only be extracted by faith. And we know she had faith because it tells us in verse 28, because she thought, what's a thought? A belief. If she believed, if I can touch him, I will be healed. And she comes out and touches him. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, was trembling and came and fell at the feet of Jesus. And she told him the whole truth. Now that's this word here messes me up a bit. You see, because there's 973,000 words in the Bible, and none of them are there by mistake, and none of them are there to be taken out and discarded of. So it tells us here in the back end of verse 33 that she fell at his feet and told him the whole truth. Now, wouldn't it just have been suffice to say the truth? Isn't the truth the truth? Partial truth is, I guess, some truth. But it goes on to tell us here that she told him the whole truth. I'm intrigued to know, what is the whole truth? Because she fell at Jesus' feet and then proceeded to tell him not just the truth, but the whole truth. This word "whole" is put in here for a reason. It's emphasizing something. It's emphasizing something. It would be if you put a meal down to one of your children and you say, "Eat your lunch." That is one way of saying it. But then you say to your children, I want you to eat all of your lunch. You're emphasizing a more grand statement. Eat it all. But she tells him the whole truth. And I don't know what this whole truth is. But again, I like to position myself within the word and the word within me. So I try and put myself in this village where this took place, or this town. And I can imagine that the whole truth went something like this. She falls at the feet of Jesus. And I believe it goes something like this. Lord, thank you. Thank you for setting me free. Thank you for coming into our village. I've been broken and lonely. I've been isolated. I've been depressed. I'm financially broke. I've been violated. I've been cast out. I'm deemed unclean. Thank you, thank you, thank you for coming into our town. Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. This is phenomenal. This is absolutely crazy. Here is a woman who'd been on her own for 12 years. She comes out. She peels back this door of isolation and loneliness and fear, and she makes her way to Jesus, the only one who could set her free, and she makes her way to her. This woman had had a terrible, terrible time. What I want you to understand here is this. This woman, in verse 25, it tells us, let me go back and read it. It tells us in verse 25, a certain woman, she was unnamed. It tells us in verse 33, she became an identified woman who touched me. It tells us in verse 34, daughter, she went from being a nobody to a somebody to a daughter in 9 verses. A certain woman, a nobody, to who touched me, a somebody, it was me. And then she left as a daughter. You see, this is the power of an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I still want to know who told her. The Bible doesn't tell us who told her, so I'm going to accuse you. I'm getting a little bit accusational now for all the right reasons, okay? I'm accusing you of doing good. I'm outdoing you in honor. Love believes the best. I'm blaming you for telling her, okay? You were to blame. You told her. And just so you know, I'm not excluding myself because I like to be in the blessing party too. It was me. I told her. You see, being found, reaching the lost is an overflow of being found. How many people are in your community who think they are nobodies? And you and I know that they are a somebody. And more importantly, God knows that they are a son and a daughter. And unless we go in, I'm preaching myself hot to you guys. You must see when I'm in a chair, man alive, I feel like an eagle in a budgie cage. Gosh, my feet are like this under the table. Okay, so when you and I know that Jesus sets people free, we have to go and tell them about the only one who can set them free. I'm telling you right now, you may have an opinion about medicine right now. You may have an opinion over things you put over your face right now. You may have an opinion over these movements and Antifa and so on and so forth. But I'm telling you right now, I study the word, okay? I study the word, and there's one thing that I haven't found in these words is your opinion. I haven't found it, or mine for that matter, okay? It isn't in there. but yet somehow we end up sharing it. The world doesn't need it. It needs truth. It's truth that sets people free. This woman, boom, done. 12 years, no more bleeding, leaving as a daughter, freed from her suffering. Freed from her suffering. Why? Because someone like you and someone like me told her about Jesus. Her situation changed. Her social status changed. Her loneliness evaporated. Her body was healed. Her finances would have changed. Her family would have been reconciled. Her shame, torment, and violation would have disappeared. Her whole life changed because someone like you and like me didn't get caught up in the media's narrative, didn't listen to news presenters and listen to them as the prophets of the nation. They just told her or the community that Jesus is alive and he is here. That is what you and I are called to do. And I'm telling you right now, guys, I'm telling you right now, I have had the privilege to lead a number of people to Christ. But I want to tell you, I want to share a little secret with you, okay? I want to share a little secret with you about how I led those people to Christ. I told them about Christ. It's the worst kept secret in the world. Every single person that I've led to Christ, I've told them about Christ. That's it. It's as simple as that. So as we go about our daily walk, our daily routine, whether it be our 9 to 5, whether it's our timber yard we own, or whether it's our fruit and veg shop, or whether it's a church pulpit God has entrusted us with, or a family, I'm telling you right now, the world does not need our opinions. It doesn't, because you know why? Our opinions change like the wind. But the truth, the word of God, heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will endure it forever. Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. He is the word. Give them Jesus. Give them Jesus. And I promise you, people's suffering and pain and stress and loneliness can blink in an, it can evaporate in a blink of an eye. Guys, we are called to share our faith with every person we come across. Now, is that to say that we're to beg them into coming into the kingdom? Absolutely not. Actually, that's not even the Jesus model. And we hear that Jesus leaves the 99 for the one, right? You know that. So do I. But he even allows that one to walk away. And you may say, well, I've not read that. Well, you read the passage of Nicodemus. You read the passage of the young rich ruler. You see, it's your responsibility and my responsibility to share the truth, to share a liberating message. It's not to get caught up, not to look left, not to look right. We are citizens of heaven. In order to have here on earth what is going on in heaven, we have to do on earth what is going on in heaven. And that is to worship the one true God. And I want to see every person in New Zealand come into a relationship with Christ. I want to see every person in Christchurch come into a relationship with Christ. And it starts like this. He's here. Jesus is here. And when they hear, faith arises, just like this woman. Could you imagine her in the corner of her room, sitting down, crouched, lonely? And then all of a sudden, this faith, this proclamation of he's here, gets under the door and through the wooden slats on the windows. And all of a sudden, she's ignited. Faith does something to us. Faith ignites us. And I believe it stood her up on her feet, and she pursued him. And this is what we are called to do. Guys, listen. We still don't know who told her. But one thing's for sure. We need to be careful what we say in public. Because it's clear people are listening. It's clear this woman heard. We need to be careful of how we conduct ourselves in public, whether that's on Facebook, whether that's on any other social media, whether that's in a coffee shop. You never know who's listening. Let us speak life. Let us speak hope. Let us speak light. Let our words be seasoned with salt. 1 Peter 3:15, let's always be ready to give an account. An account of what? An account of the hope in which you and I have. An account of hope, not an account of desperation or despair. The account of hope in which we have. Our hope is in him. John 1:14, I'll say it again. The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. The Message translation, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And moved into the neighborhood, should I say. He's here. He's in Christchurch. He's here. He's in Liverpool. It's funny, when the Lord speaks to me, he actually sounds like me. It's crazy, right? Guys, let's get out there. Let's get out there. Because there's nobodies who are crying out to be a somebody. And when they become somebodies, they'll know that they are sons and daughters. So let me pray for you, and then I'm going to hand it back over. I won't stand up. I have shorts on. Father God, thank you for Pastor Wes and Pastor Janet. Thank you for Living Waters. Thank you for each and every soul there, Lord. I pray for New Zealand, God, and I pray that you continue to pour out your spirit. I pray for wisdom. I pray for boldness. I pray for gentleness. I pray for unity. I pray for humility. I pray, Lord, that we do all things without complaining or arguing. I pray, Lord, we keep the main thing, and that we continue to share our faith, and that we continue to declare, Lord, that you are here and that you are alive. So I hope that blesses you all, and I hope that you will never read Mark 5, again, the same. This woman, she went from being a nobody to a somebody to a daughter in 9 verses. In a blink of an eye, on the proclamation that he's here. Go out there, change your community. The only way we will do it is by giving them he who isn't eternal, and that is Jesus. So I hope that blesses you, and I can't wait to be with you all. I love you all dearly, and I really cannot wait. I got this sneaky feeling 2022, I will be walking through the doors of Living Waters at some point to hug you all, providing you want a hug. God bless you guys.